Rod, are you here? Are you on mute, Rod?
Rod, unmute, please.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
All right, so sorry, my phone dropped us, but thank God we got back on time. Thank you, Rob and Laura. Loved your shares. Means a lot to me. I'm a grateful member. I'm Rod. I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon. I've been a member. My wife and I were trying to figure it out. I think it's 32 years. I graduated a long time ago, but I figured you guys needed me, so I stayed on. But other than that, when I first got into Al-Anon, it was because of my son, who was in treatment. And one of the requirements for the parents or family members was to start going to Al-Anon meetings. And it was suggested that we go to parents of alcoholic children. And my wife and I walked into this meeting, and I was not happy. I was not a happy trooper. And I listened to what was going on, and some of them was pretty heavy stories. And I thought, well, mine wasn't that bad. I don't know why I have to come here, but following rules, and that was part of the agreement we made with the counselor that was taking care of my son. At that meeting, there was a man sharing, and it was just a lovely man. You could just tell, and he had so much calm and love about him, and his story was horrible, and it was kind of similar to what I was going through. And then after the meeting, I went up to him and I said, with all this going on in your life, how are you so happy? And he said, I'm a grateful member of Al-Anon, and I love my alcoholics and I hate their disease. And I've used that motto for years. And then he said, you're a newcomer. And I said, yes. And he said, do you have a sponsor? And I said, no, I don't know what that means. And he says, well, a sponsor will help you go through the steps. And I said, oh, I did the steps. And he says, well, how did you do the steps without a sponsor? And I said, well, it's right up there on the wall. And that's how naive I was. He did help me, though. He said he couldn't be my full-time sponsor, but he would get me started. And that's how I started Al-Anon. I'm not going to tell you about my alcoholic roots or anything like that. I'm going to tell you about my recovery because of my loving and beautiful alcoholics. I can say that today. I started going to meetings every week, especially the parents of alcoholic children, and started meeting people after the meeting, listening to stories, stopped judging how they parented, and I started working on myself. And what was so nice about this is I found my first sponsor, and I have to tell you, he was not a nice man. And I dreaded meeting with him every week. And he would tell me how it was and where I needed to be and what to let go of. And then I got my, started getting my Al-Anon books, and One Day at a Time, Courage to Change, and would read the page of that day. And so it was funny because it started working for me. I love to be in control, and I love telling my alcoholics how to live and what they should and shouldn't be doing. And the funny part about that is my oldest son got sober, and we got along so much better. He started telling me about my youngest son needed help, and I go, oh, no, I don't think he has a problem. But guess what? He did. And during that time, he was in his own adolescent treatment center. Again, started Al-Anon meetings. I thought I knew everything because I'd been in there for, another 7 months. And there I was, and my oldest son came to me one day and said, we need to do something now that I'm in recovery and Tim is in recovery. We have to do something with mom's drinking. And I go, oh, no, no. I said, I have your mom's drinking under control. And he says, no, Dad, you don't. Anyway, the following week, they did do an intervention. And that's when I hit my bottom with alcoholism in my life. What I wanted to do was scream and yell and tell them how much they ruined and hurt my life. Instead, I got up and I told them I'm no longer able to be around alcohol or alcoholism and the people that are alcoholic. And I walked out, got home, didn't know what I was going to do. I thought, well, I'll find myself an apartment, let my wife drink herself to death. My kids want to have a relationship with me. That would be fine. If not, that's okay too. The following morning, well, that afternoon, actually, my son came by and said, Mom agreed to go to treatment. And I said, that would be fine. I didn't believe she would do it, but she did. The next morning, I made myself a cup of coffee, came down, went out into the backyard, and I had trouble with a higher power at the time. And I looked around my yard, and it was beautiful. I had beautiful, huge redwood trees. I thought, well, Mother Nature takes care of them. Why can't she take care of me? Let me start with that, because my sponsor kept saying, have something other than yourself. I sat there a very wonderful and warm moment that I remember. And I was in this little pool house we had, and the little starlings or whatever were making nests, mud nests. And they started to fly out. And the next thing I knew, I heard a plop, and it was in my coffee cup. And a bird had flown over and took a dump in my coffee. And I thought, now everybody's shitting on me. And what good is all this? And something wonderful came over me. Who am I to say that my alcoholics aren't going to make it? I'm not going to make it if I don't really work a program of Al-Anon and listen to what my sponsor says. I have kept that promise to myself for almost 32 years. I love going to my meetings. I have a little problem here. Nothing was open because of COVID-19, as you have experienced. There's no Zoom meetings that I'm aware of here. So I finally got I think Sue either called me or texted me that you were starting a Zoom meeting and would I like to attend. And I was absolutely thrilled. And it's been a wonderful experience to do it from my living room. And coming in and seeing my old friends. There's nothing like that easy does it meeting, I can tell you right now. Further going on to my sobriety as far as not taking care of an alcoholic or trying to control everybody. I work the 12 steps as I would the 10 commandments. They have served me so well. That have given me so much happiness that I never knew existed before. I never knew how terrible it was for me trying to control other people. And I mean literally trying to control them. I had an experience one time in a Thanksgiving family where one of the uncles had a cam, where you could take movies and plug it into your TV. And he was panning everybody or talking to them. And when he came to me, everybody else had a big smile on their face and were laughing. And I looked like a statue. And what I was doing was watching to see what my alcoholics were drinking and how much they were drinking. And wasn't socializing, my job was to watch out and control my alcoholics. And that gave me a little bit of an incentive on how bad I was. The alcoholics have their control issues, which are alcohol or drugs. I had it because I had to control people, places, and things. And after my first sponsor, I asked him if I could leave him, and I hated that. And I found a very kind man, and worked the steps again. And this time I did it with love and a determination that I needed to help myself. And it worked out very, very, very well. And today I'm a very happy guy. One of the first meetings I went to, some man said, I enjoy being happy, joyous, and free. And I had no idea what that meant because I didn't have one of those things in my life. Happy, joyous, and free. Today, I have at least one of those in my day, if not all three, because I allow it to happen. And that is because Al-Anon has taught me to let go and let God or your higher power. Or one of my favorite is this too will pass, one day at a time. I never knew how to do that. I had to know exactly 24 hours ahead what my day was going to be. And I don't have to do that today. And I thank my program for that. One of the beauties of this program of Al-Anon, it teaches you to be yourself and be honest with yourself. I never was allowed that for myself because I find faults and I couldn't allow to have faults. Today I have lots of them and I accept them and I love them and I learn from them. And I can always go back to one of my readings, one day at a time. Courage to change always has something that can change your attitude or how low you are or whatever. My phone went out the other day, couldn't be repaired, got a new one, and now I can't get online with it. So I have to wait till Monday to get to a Verizon store. I'm not a happy camper, but Al-Anon told me that one day at a time, this too will pass. So anybody that's been trying to get me or send me a text, just give me some patience and I'll get back to you. Another wonderful thing about this, my wife and I had a wonderful life together, except for the alcoholism. And I have to give her all the credit in the world, has sobriety of 31 years today. Of course, if she hadn't got that sobriety, we wouldn't have been together. But she made that choice, not only for herself, but for me and for our two sons. And that made my program even stronger. I have to tell you this little story here. When my wife finished her treatment, I picked her up, and this is my little problem, not anybody else's. But this is, I thought she was going to get in the car and say, take me home. I want to bake you a apple pie. And that's not what happened. And I thought, what's going on here? And she was very aggressive. My wife was never that way. And we were driving home. I've told this story at my meeting, but I think people would understand in my position. And some man cut us off or something on the ramp. And she said, are you going to let that fucker get away with that? And I thought, my wife's never used the F word in her whole life. I looked over and I was waiting for her head to be spinning around. And she goes, I need to get to a meeting. I promise 90 minutes meetings in 90 days. And I dropped her off at one of the churches. And one of the wonderful things about that, I looked over and all these men, there was smoking at that time, was in this, smoke infested alleyway and greeting and hugging my wife. And I thought, what the hell's going on? Anyway, a couple of weeks later, she asked me, it's an open meeting, if I'd like to come. And I did. And I sat way in the back because I didn't want anybody to think I was an alcoholic. And what I heard at the meeting was one alcoholic helping another. And it wasn't an individual program. It was a meeting of minds and people that had the same problem. And I said, who am I to be jealous about this? I wanted my wife to have sobriety. And here I am making accusations. And that was one of my awakenings that the program, our program says, you will have an awakening. And that started me, not only my wife, but me on my road to recovery. And that's how Al-Anon has helped me throughout the years. And I've had many. I'm a happy and I'm a joyous and I'm a free individual. Thanks to the Al-Anon meeting and my sponsor and sponsoring my sponsees, who again, as Laura said, helps me just as much as I have helped them. I recommend you get a sponsor, newcomers, read your literature. It helps you all through problems that you never thought you'd get through. I love what I do. I love the meetings. I love saying I'm an Al-Anon member. I want to leave you with that. It's a program that can save your life. And I love you all. And I thank you all for your wonderful support all these years. Thank you.
Thank you, Rod.
Rod.
Thank you very much. And now we'll hear from Judy.
Thank you. I'm Judy Meir and I am an alcoholic. My sobriety date is 2/26/1990. And for that, I am absolutely grateful. I did not do that myself. I don't do anything myself. I have guidance that I absolutely believe in today. I'll tell you a little bit about what happened and how I got here and all of that. I grew up in an alcoholic family. So I am, first of all, a codependent. My father was an alcoholic, a high-bottom alcoholic, and I didn't know there was anything different than that. He was a wonderful man. I will love him till the day I die and probably even after that. My mother was a horrible codependent. I thought that's how moms were. She was just uptight all the time. She didn't know what to do. She didn't know what to say. My father controlled the whole house. And that's what I saw growing up. That's what I believed a family was. One time after I was sober, we were on a cruise and we were in Mexico or somewhere and we were going to have some dance people or something. And we were sitting in the audience and I saw a little girl sitting with a lady. And the lady put her arms around the little girl and held her close to her and said, I love you. And I thought, who's that lady? So I went over later and I said, are you her mother? And she said, oh, yes, this is my little girl, whoever it was. And I couldn't believe it. I didn't know mothers were like that. My mother never had a chance to be like that. That also was, you know, a spiritual awakening for me that mothers can be like that because I wasn't a mother like that either. There was a lot of drinking in our family. Rod didn't drink, which really pissed me off. He'd have a Manhattan or something and fall under the table. He was just no fun at all. My boys were more fun. And of course, everybody that we associated with in our young together years, in Danville, we all drank. We drank great, and I loved every minute of it. One time when I thought I had too much to drink, we would have these gourmet dinners, and I knew it was because of the liqueurs after dinner. So I decided not to have liqueurs anymore, and I thought I was doing pretty damn good. Well, it wasn't the liqueurs. The way that I started to get sober is our oldest son, who Rod has talked to you about. He came up to me one day and he said, we had an intervention. I was supposed to be going to work. The two bosses in my life that I worked for were both alcoholics. They both loved gin. And I think that's interesting. I don't know why that was so attractive to me. Anyway, my son led an intervention at my youngest son's treatment program. And I didn't know it was an intervention. I thought it was just a counselor meeting. So I went. I was very happy to go and see that my son, my youngest son, was progressing. My oldest son had, I don't know, about 9 months of sobriety. My husband was real happy with what was going on. So I was thrilled. Well, it didn't turn out to be a meeting with the counselor. This little itty bitty counselor man led this intervention. And it floored me. Rod left. He said, I can't be around alcoholics anymore. I need a life of my own. And he drove off. He had a red Corvette at that time. And I saw the little red Corvette go by the window outside. And I'm thinking, what is going on? And my oldest son said to me, Mom, if you don't stop drinking, I'll never talk to you again. And I'm telling you, that did it. So he drove me home because my husband left. And I went through and I poured out. I was a wine drinker. I drank wine 4 o'clock every day. I drank red wine, usually Red Mountain, because that was the cheapest in those days. And don't get in my way. That's what I did. And I usually passed out around 8 o'clock on the sofa. And I would say I was so tired that I went to sleep. Both of my kids had drug and alcohol addictions. So it was a merry time at the house. Anyway, my husband drove me to the treatment center the next day. And they had a bed for me. Isn't that interesting? And I went in at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and I was there for 29 days. They say in the treatment world that after 2 weeks, if you haven't made a decision to work a program, you're really not going to do it at that time. And it was about 2.5 weeks that happened for me, that I decided, you know, I might have a drinking problem. I don't really believe it, but maybe I do. So that was a little bit of a turnaround. I was a high bottom alcoholic. Some of my dearest friends, some of my sponsees, some of my sponsors were very low bottom alcoholics. And I feel so grateful that God saved me from that. I don't know how people live through that, but I had enough of my own where the level I was at. So I got out of treatment, and Rod told you what I said. I had been going to therapy for 10 years before I went into treatment. And I've known my therapist for 40 years. And she was actually the first one that started to help me change my life, to change some of my beliefs. She knew I drank, and I would always tell her I had 2 glasses of red wine a night. Well, they weren't glasses, folks. They were goblets. But to me, they were glasses. And I still text back and forth with my therapist, and I will love her till the day I die. So I was with her 10 years, and then they did the intervention, and then I was with her for about 30 more years. And I found every time I went to her, it was a wonderful experience. And that added to AA was a miracle for me. What got me sober were the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. My first sponsor was 21 years younger than I was, and she really, I'm going to use the word, was a bitch. She was very hard on me, and boy, did I need that. We were in a restaurant one time, and my boss, who was an alcoholic, I had left work because I couldn't be around him. And he sent me a pass to the design center still, so I could go in and I could get jewelry. I could do whatever I wanted to do. And I told my sponsor, and I said, look what my ex-boss sent me in the mail. Isn't that nice? And she said, you don't work for him anymore, do you? And I said, no, but I've known him since 1980. I mean, this is just a lovely thing he did. And she said, well, you know, when you worked for him, did you get a salary? And I said, yes, I got a salary. And she said, some of the benefits of working for him was going to the design center and the jewelry center. And I said, yes, it was. And she said, and then you quit. And I said, well, so what? And she said, I want you to send that back to him. I couldn't believe that. I got up, I said some words I don't want to say, and I walked out of the restaurant. And it took me a couple of days to look at that pass and to say, you know, she was right. And if I wanted a pass, I had to get it myself and earn it myself. Believe me, that's not how I was brought up. That's not how I thought. But it took being taught by people who were sober how to live a sober life. I'm absolutely, truly grateful to be sober. I have no desire to drink. I think about it every once in a while because it's in my brain. I have a lot of itching stuff all over my body right now, and we're trying to figure out what it is. And I know that if I drank and passed out, I wouldn't itch anymore. Well, that's just the truth, isn't it? But I don't want to do it. I never want to do that again. I never want to hurt myself like that and hurt others that I love so dearly. Our youngest son, and I am going to say this, is on the streets. He lives in Reno, Nevada. He's a very low-bottom alcoholic. He's a lovely, lovely person. He's a beautiful young man inside. Well, he's not so young. He's going to be 49. He's come in and out of AA. He has taught me so much about codependency. I had to work for years to let him go. It was the hardest thing I ever did. And what I did is I just put him in God's hands. I visualized God's hands and I put him in those hands. And I have been freed pretty much from wanting to, you know, take him home and take care of him and I can help him and nobody else can and all that stuff that we think about. And I know a lot of you have had those same thoughts. I think it's human. And I think it's really hard whether you're a mom or a dad. To go through that. But my God is getting me through that. And I know that I am loved by God. I know that everyone is loved by God. And everyone can have a beautiful, healthy life if we believe in a power greater than ourselves. That's the only thing that it tells us in the 12 steps, that we have to turn our will and our lives over to a power greater than ourselves. That's not particularly easy. But at 46 years old, when I came in the program, I began to walk on that path. And today I am definitely on that path. I have had 5 sponsors. I've loved every one of them, and not one of them has been real sweet and kind, except my 4th sponsor. And I wanted her because she was nice. And I said to her one day, Janice, can you teach me how to be nice? And she said, well, I'll try, but it's going to be really hard to do. And I have loved her ever since. Oh, my God. That was about 15 years ago. But that was the truth, you know. My last sponsor was the most incredible woman I've ever known in my life. She escaped, you know, during the years of the Nazism. She escaped Poland and came across. And, oh, geez, just an amazing woman. So loving, so willing. So many people in our Danville groups just absolutely loved her. We called her Mama because she was older. She had, when she passed away, she had almost 50 years in the program. She helped so many people. Anyway, we would go to her house and have lunch once a month, her sponsees, our sponsees, whatever. And every time I'd open her refrigerator, I'd say, Mama, there's no room in your refrigerator. It's always jam-packed full. And she said, do you know why, Judy? And I said, well, no. She said, you know, we came across from Poland to the United States, well, to France first, and then to the United States. And she said, there were many days when all we could eat was the grass outside the train tracks. And she said, I said to myself, I will never go starving again. And she didn't. Her refrigerator was always packed full. So she could remember what she had gone through. And my refrigerator is always packed full, but it's not that. It's because we love to eat. We enjoy it. We love being in Oklahoma. Our oldest son got us here. He said we were getting old, and we are. And he didn't want to have to go back and forth to California because he lives here with his beautiful wife and his wonderful son. And he didn't want to have to go back and forth and take care of us. So would we please come to Oklahoma? And we did. I don't know how we did that. This is a miracle in my life. If 40 years ago, somebody had said to me, you'll be living in Oklahoma in your senior years, I would have said, what are you talking about? But we love it. Everybody is just lovely here. As Rod said, neither one of us have been to an open meeting yet in our, you know, he and Alan on, me and AA. But thank you, God, we have Zoom. And I pray we always have Zoom. It keeps me in touch with all of my people that I, you know, I grew up with these people. They helped me become who I am today, the woman I am today. And some of them were 19, 20, you know, when I met them, and some of them a lot older. It doesn't matter. The age doesn't matter. What matters is in our hearts. And that's how we extend ourselves to help others. I've had wonderful sponsees. They have taught me so much. I have heard horrific stories, just horrific. I remember early on, I had a sponsee, and I forget how I found her or she found me, but we had to go to court one day. And the reason we had to go to court was that she had been at a bar or something, and a guy had picked her up and sold her drugs and then raped her. So she turned him in to the police when she got sober. So I didn't know exactly how to handle what to say to her. So I told my sponsor at the time, and this was like, I was, you know, not even 5 years sober yet. And I said, I don't know what to do. And my sponsor said to me, you know, Judy, if she had never been in that bar, if she had never worn those little skirts above her knees, if she had never taken all those drugs and provoked this man to come and get her, she wouldn't have been raped. And I thought, oh my God, that's true. I never thought of something. I thought, oh, poor girl, she got raped. Uh-uh. So the next time I saw her, I told her that, and she was shocked. I don't know if she stayed sober. You know, over the years, we miss people, we lose people, they go on their way. Some people I have loved very much are not sober, and that's my son in Reno. I pray for the times when he's in jail. I pray for the times when he's in another treatment center, because he's off the streets, he has food and a warm bed. And I thank God. God has saved that kid so many times. He should be dead by now, and he isn't. So there's some kind of plan, and I don't know what it is. I just can't tell you what's in my heart and how grateful I am to be sober. I can't imagine me back in my kitchen drinking every day at 4 o'clock. I was just not a good person. I was shut off from everything. I had no feelings. I had no thoughts. All I had to do was what I had to do. I had to take care of the kids. I had to take care of the house. I had to take care of the husband. Oh my God. All this stuff, and it was overpowering to me. Today, I can do what I need to do and do it with love and with grace most of the time. There is a man who moved across the street. Rod was telling you about his resentment. There is a man who moved across the street. Now, this guy to me is a punk, and he has a motorcycle for one thing, and this is kind of a senior area that we live in, and now he has a Jeep. And what he does is every day about 6:30 in the morning, he starts revving up his Jeep. It's an old Jeep, and drives it up the street, up the street. Rod sleeps through it because he's a heavy sleeper. And I have a resentment going, and I know the young lady who spoke before me talked about resentments. And I know I have to pray for this idiot for 14 days and wish him everything in the world. And I haven't made 14 days yet. And last night I had dreams of the kind of notes that I could pin on his windshield and tell him what he could do with his Jeep. So I don't want you to think I'm all well and fixed. I'm not. I'm still still a human being. But I know I won't put the note on this Jeep. I know I won't do it tonight. I can't tell you about tomorrow. So that's where I am in my sobriety. After 31 years, I am so far from perfect. But I am human, and human beings are, we're creatures, I'll tell you. We have two cats that we adopted here. They were going to be out on the streets. And they're in their 7 or 8 years of life. And we just absolutely love them. They've come to love us. We love pets. We absolutely love pets. We brought a dog, a little dog, across the in the airplane to Oklahoma with us. And it died about a year ago and broke our hearts again. And one of the things I've come to understand and accept in my life is that when you have a pet and you love that pet and you think that pet is your child and you do everything for that pet, you have to be able to accept that that pet will die probably before you do. The same way we have to accept the fact that we never want our children to die before we do. And some of us have gone through that pain. So I guess that's it, guys. Basically, I'm a very happy lady. Rod and I live as roommates now, which is great fun. We love each other. We're physically not all together now, but we're working on it. Most of our social meetings here are with doctors and nurses. We haven't been to meetings. And we have family members. My daughter-in-law has a large family. We have a lot of fun with them. And of course, our son and my grandson is the greatest grandson in the world. He just turned 20 years old. He doesn't drink. He doesn't use. Well, I think he smokes a little weed now and then, but not enough to get him into any trouble. And we just couldn't be happier. My sister's here too. She's kind of an oddball, but we try to put up with her. She needs Al-Anon. Oh my God, she needs Al-Anon. Anyway, you know, we might know people who are alcoholics who need AA. We might know people who need Al-Anon, and it's really not up to us to say that. We can pray for them, except for the guy across the street with the Jeep. So thank you, everybody. It was wonderful to be here with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judy.